Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, my name is Scott Hunt, and I want to welcome you to the Clay County Corner, live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in beautiful Salina, Tennessee. We want to bring you the latest news, local happenings, events, and general information about Clay County. And this radio broadcast is sponsored in part and hosted by a three-star volunteer program of Clay County and the Clay County Chamber of Commerce. We're live every Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m. on Kicks Country 101.5 FM, and the show will be replayed in this evening at 6 p.m. We have a great show for you today. On the lineup today, we will hear from Dale Reagan, the Clay County Mayor, Jane Donaldson with the Clay County Schools, and Ray Norris with the Clay County Chamber of Commerce. Today's subjects will include information about the latest commission meeting, career and technical education, and latest from the Chamber. Before we start, let's take a break from our sponsors, and we'll return with our County Mayor, Dale Reagan.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored, but this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
This is Scott Hunt back at the Clay County Corner. Our program today will begin with Dale Reagan, who is the Clay County Mayor. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Scott.
All right. And I hear you had a meeting last night for the Clay County Commission.
It was Monday night.
Monday night, okay.
It was the past week and everything. And the commission, they meet the first Monday night of every month to go over and conduct the business of the county and everything. And at 6:30, we want to take this opportunity to, as always, to invite the public to come out, because all of our meetings and everything is public. And we certainly want to encourage everybody to come out. That's when your commissioners of your district and everything comes together to conduct the business and make the decisions for each and every citizen here in the county.
So you just need people there to voice their input on certain subjects?
Well, we have the last Monday night of every month, because by law, we have to get their agenda to them 7 days prior to conducting business. And so the commission a few years ago and everything had decided to start to come together on the last Monday night of each month to get their agenda. And that's the opportunity is what they call the planning meeting. And they can go over different, subjects and everything, but they can't make a voting decision at that time. It's just a kind of a update and everything, so they can get their agenda and look at it. And that's really the time for anybody to come up. They got a matter or anything to bring and discuss anything with the commissioners and everything as well. You know, at the commissioners meeting, you can do that as well. But it's that's the official meeting that they come together and vote on the resolutions and their motions.
I used to be in the commission meetings in Alabama when I was down there, and because I was park board, and so I was required to be at the meetings. And you know, you get a lot of information, hear what's going on, and you learn about, you know, a lot about what's going on in the county.
Right. We had Monday night was kind of a short agenda, and normally after the budget's passed and everything, it's somewhat like that, because all of the departments are working on their new budget and going through those things. We had two notaries that we took in consideration. The commission also had four motions that they looked at and approved, and we had two resolutions. We had a resolution to reappoint some of the members to the park board, They do that every September, November, in that time frame. And as always, we, from time to time, you have budget amendments and stuff that you have to do, and we had one of those concerning our workers' comp insurance and everything. And that's pretty much what was voted on at the court meeting Monday night. And I'd like to thank everyone that came out to the kind of, I guess, changing the pace just a little bit, if I may, official opening of our new highway, which was Tuesday. And we had several people that came out, and this was a process. It's been an ongoing process for many, many years, and there are a lot of people involved in this from day one, and a lot of local folks here that I know that spent a lot of time and effort putting in to try to, you know, see that this was accomplished. And thanks to the good Lord up above, it got accomplished and everything. We got a great highway that I know everybody is proud of. And like I said, it took a long time coming, but I'm sure that, you know, that each and every one can say that it's well worth it and everything.
It's got some beautiful views up there looking over the river area down there. It's just, you know, a lot of people said they didn't even know that was back there, but it's just real pretty views. And I think it's going to increase the tourism here and business a lot, because it's a lot easier access now than it was before. And, you know, it's just a real nice highway and a good addition to the county.
Well, it is, and like, you know, we have a lot of truck trafficking that comes through here, and I'm sure that now that one of the things was some of the terrain that you have to, you know, cover whenever you're coming into to Salina or passing through Salina, going into Kentucky up north. Sometimes, you know, that drivers will look at the terrain, and it'll make their mind up whether they want to tackle that or not, and a couple of the hills that we had coming into Salina, which Shanky Hill was one of those, and the Walker Hill that we got that to, was taken care of about 6 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it was, when that project was completed. And now it's opened up to where that, and I'm sure that, you know, that traffic will pick up now, and because it's much better access coming in, everything for truck drivers.
Yeah, and like I said, did a real good job on it and got it done in a quick amount of time, I believe. With all the hills they had to blast through and everything, they did a real good job on it. And
well, one of the things that they brought up, and I was very, you know, pleased with, and I know TDOT was very pleased with it, BizAc was the construction company that overseen the project and everything, and they completed it almost a year ahead of schedule. So that was something that, you know, that they, I'm sure that, you know, that all, especially their company, we've been very proud of, as well as everyone else and everything. And it was a big project, a lot of cut and fill, and I hadn't really thought a lot about it till they mentioned it to me up there the other day. But this complete project has no, is what you might say, dirt embankment or anything. It's all rock. Just about all of it is rock and everything. So as long as the Lord let this old world stand, that road will probably be there for us and everything. So it's a great project, a great, you know, asset to our county. I know that I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for their consideration on the intersection there. I know that, you know, that that's been a real important subject to all of us and everything, and we got to discuss a little bit more with the Commissioner Schroeder, whenever he was up there the other day, and he reassured us that, you know, that the four-way stop, of course, it's installed now, and we certainly want to ask everyone to please use discretion when you come up on that, and that the study will begin pretty shortly on the trafficking and everything. And he told us that they continue to do that and would do that for us. And if it weren't a traffic signal, they'd certainly, you know, look at the possibility of installing one of those for us.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people I've noticed don't really know how to stop at a four-way stop. They don't know when to go. And but, you know, so everybody needs to kind of practice up on your four-way stop, and since it is a four-way stop now. And if they put in a light, how long in the future would that be?
Well, it's probably going to be, you know, when they did the study, it's probably going to be like maybe a six-month study, something like that.
It could be fairly quick.
Yeah, and if it warrants that, if the traffic is there and they see, you know, that the need is there. I'm sure that, you know, they probably would turn it around fairly quickly and everything, but all things, and I know, you know, in government of any type and everything, it's especially I see it a lot in my situation, it's hurry up and wait. And so, I mean, you know, it's a process, and you just got to go through that process. We just, again, I want to stress that thank everybody for their patience and just ask them for their discretion when you, you know, the consideration when you come up there and everything, because we're blessed with the new road and everything, that's for sure.
You know, like I said, I believe it's going to be a great asset for the county and bring in a lot more people and help the county grow and businesses grow.
Okay.
And is that the, if a light goes up, would that be the state or the county, or who would put that light up?
The state would be the one that would install it, but then it would be turned over to the city. The city would, right now, even the four-way stop up there, the city takes on the responsibility to, you know, oversee the light as far as the, if a bulb goes out or whatever like that. So the city is, you know, they step up to the plate and take on a lot of responsibility too, and I certainly want to commend them for that, and the officials, Mayor Kerr and the city council and everything for all that they do.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Mayor Dale Reagan.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
All right, and welcome back. This is Scott Hunt with the Clay County Corner. I've been talking with Mayor Dale Reagan about the commission meeting this week and also about the new highway coming in. Are there any other upcoming events for the county that you'd like to talk about, Dale?
We, if I may, I know the jail situation is always on everybody's mind and everything, and we discussed it briefly at the last commission meeting to bring everybody up to date of what our next, the commission's next move is. Bob Bass, which is with the Department of Corrections with the state of Tennessee, which they, his acronym is TCI, and is going to be coming up and meeting with the commissioners the 25th of this month, which is what was, you know, a moment ago was mentioned about the planning meeting. And he's going to come up and go over the, as far as the stats, as far as TCI, the requirements and everything that the commissioners, whenever they, they're down to the point now to where they're looking at the final, these final three, architect and engineers, and so we want them to meet with TCI and to go over the do's and don'ts when it comes to looking at hiring an architect and the things that, because there's a lot of things, you know, when you're talking about building the jail, you know, and you get into the process, it's kind of like a little bit different than building a home, but you know, you may get halfway through something, you may decide you want to change it. Well, there's things in this that you can't change, and there's things that, you know, has to be there regardless of where you think they're necessary or not. And by law, you have to do that and everything. So we want to make sure that all the commissioners understand that whenever they, and make sure that whoever they do decide to hire as far as being over this project, which is going to be one of the biggest projects that this county has ever undertook, and that we want to make sure that there's somebody there that has done that, has the knowledge and everything, helping us do the right thing.
Do you have a location picked out for the new jail now, or is it?
Of course, you know, we the preliminary, I guess, proposed side, and that's, and again, I stress that it's proposed because, anytime you start to do anything, you have environmental studies it has to go through, and things may happen that that site may not be suitable. But as of right now, the county owns some property down there at the industrial site, and that's where that we're looking at right now.
Okay. And I've noticed some new construction going on by the community center. What's going in down there?
That is the, and I've, I know that I've mentioned it several times, the EOC Center, which is our Emergency Operations Center, and also it's we're building it to where it can house our ambulances. We were blessed to not in a sense that we were involved in the 2010 flood, but that end result turned out to be where that we were able to apply for a grant. And through the process, we were awarded a grant through that. And this center that's being built down there is a CDBG disaster grant, which was $568,000. And that's what that's the process. It's what's going on down there now and everything. And I want to certainly thank everybody that had a hand in getting it to this point. I know our highway department, Mr. Ernest Garris and everything, he's helped us out a lot and everything, because I know a lot of people seeing, you know, the dirt pile and all that and everything. And Ernest is, helping us out with that dirt and everything, getting some of that moved around and everything. So hopefully, good Lord's will and everything, by March, by spring, we should have a new facility sitting down there.
Okay. All right. And I want you to switch hats a little bit. I know you have many hats that you wear in the county here, and one of them I know is the fire chief. Is that at Moss?
It is.
Or is that your fire chief at Moss? Okay, I want to talk a little bit about fire safety. I know with this colder weather coming in, people starting up their fireplaces for the first time and their furnaces and space heaters and things like that. What are some things people need to look at before they start up their fireplaces to, you know, keep them from catching on fire and making sure that they're ready for the winter?
Well, the first thing, especially if you're dependent on a wood-burning furnace or something, you know, wood heat, one of the main things is to make sure that your chimneys or your flue is clear of debris. Over the summer months and everything, you know, birds have a tendency from time to time, if you don't have a screen or something over the top of it, they'll take up ownership there, and they'll come in and they'll build and everything. And then if you're not aware of it, and then when the weather gets cool and you want to build up a crackling fire and everything, and next thing you know that will ignite. And chrysoprase is real bad to build up over a period of time. And once it gets ignited, you know, it's going to burn. And depending on, you know, the situation of the flue, if it's been there for some time, you'll have little hairline cracks that will come in the liner. And sometimes if you get a flue fire, and they have a tendency to really get rolling pretty good, and temperature really increases pretty rapidly. And we've had to respond several flue fires over the years, and sadly to say, sometimes it turns into a result of someone losing their home. And that would be, you know, one thing that I would encourage everybody to, if you've not done that, or get someone, and make sure that you get someone that's encouraging everybody to go get on top of your roof and stuff, make sure that you get somebody to do it that knows, you know, what to do, and be careful when you do it. Because you could wind up there and fall off and make a situation a lot worse and everything.
That'd be another call you'll have to go out on. There's people in the Clay County area that are certified in checking out fireplaces and all that, so you don't have to get up on your roof and you know, be in that situation where it's dangerous. But space heaters and things like that, what are some rules that people need to understand or observe?
Make sure that, you know, they've got plenty of area around them. I know that a lot of times during the summer months and everything, we have a tendency, especially if we've got wall heaters. I know Pandora from time to time, she likes to move things around in the house and everything. And sometimes in the summertime, you don't think a whole lot about pushing a couch or a chair or something up against the wall where maybe a space heater was at, because you think, you know, well, I've got it turned off, it's not going to come on. we've had to go to some fires, not a lot, but we have had to respond to some fires to where that has happened. And sometimes those thermostats and stuff don't, they're man-made. So, I mean, things happen. And they may kick on if the temperature gets, you know, low enough and ignite the back of a chair or whatever it may be around them and everything. So just be very careful and cautious, making sure there's plenty of space around anything like that. And for sure, you know, one of the things, and I meant to run a piece in the paper, and it just slipped my mind and everything, because when we fall back to our time, it's a real good time to check the batteries in your smoke detectors and stuff. And I encourage everybody, if you've not got a smoke detector, they're very inexpensive. Now, you can get some that's expensive, but most of the time, you know, they're very inexpensive. And for what they could help prevent, the cost is very small and everything.
Yeah, I've seen them for, you know, as low as $10 in the store, and they've got them now with the batteries that last 10 years, so you don't have to worry about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's an early warning detection, so, you know, if you're middle of the night when you're sleeping soundly and, you know, there's some smoke going on, then it'll wake you up maybe. And another good thing is carbon monoxide detectors for the fireplaces and things, because, you know, you may not realize that the room's filling up carbon monoxide and it makes you pass out, and then it's too late then.
Right. And most of your death in fires is in statistics have shown that the fire is not what takes the life of someone. It's the smoke and everything, you know, of and early warning detection, like you said, with a smoke detector can get you aware of that and get you out before, you know, the fire even, you know, gets too far along. And carbon monoxide is something, and that's very important. I'm glad you brought that up, because we rely on natural gas a lot and everything. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, we want to encourage everybody, if you don't have one of those, and there again, you know, they're very inexpensive that you can get now to detect that. And a lot of times, you know, that they may go off and everything, and it may just be that don't amount to a whole lot. But, you know, if that happens, you know, contact, and we'll see what, you know, come out and check things out and everything for you.
Yeah, better safe than sorry on that. Okay, we're going to take another short break, and then we'll finish up with Mayor Reagan, and then we'll have some more guests on our show.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Solana Health and Rehabilitation Center in Solana, Tennessee.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Hump, the Clay County Coroner. We're talking with Mayor Dale Reagan about fire safety, because he's also the fire chief in Moss. And we've been talking about smoke detectors and getting your fireplaces ready for the winter. And another thing I heard on the news this morning, it was talking about forest fires and things and people burning leaves. What is the rules on burning outdoors here in Clay County?
They October the 15th to May the 15th, I believe, is the dates on that. So we're under that requirement now. So if you do any outside burning or anything, you're required to call State Forestry Division, and they'll issue you a permit over the phone. And so it's pretty easy to get access to and everything. And of course, if it's going to be a windy day or whatever, they're probably not going to issue that right now. But it's better, you know, to take a chance to call them and get a permit than it is to take a chance and not do it and everything. Because that way they know, and it helps everybody, because if we get a call from somewhere, if you've got a permit, a lot of times they can instead of dispatching out of the department, and everybody, you know, it's what we call 33 traffic, which that's emergency traffic. Everybody just heading out that way, you know, it could be a controlled burn. And that's the permit process helps not only the forestry department, but it helps us as well and everything. To, we want to keep everybody safe, and we certainly, you know, want to keep our citizens safe and everything. So that's a process you need to go through with, you know. And I know, you know, a lot of leaves and everything is accumulated now and everything. So I just ask everybody to please be careful when you do that. And little ones especially, because, I mean, they're amazed by leaf piles and this, that, and the other and everything. So be very cautious and everything when you pile those up. And if you decide you want to burn them or whatever, be sure that you contact and get the proper permits and stuff to do that with.
These little ones will get a stick with fire on the end of it and play around with it and start something else on fire.
Yeah.
You know, the past couple of weeks with the leaves falling and the few storms we've had come through here, most of the leaves are off trees now and some limbs down, so I figure people will be wanting to clean their yards up and you know, burn that. But like I said, make sure you do it the right way so you don't have to have the fire department come out and put your house out when it's on fire or catch the woods on fire, because I know the terrain around here is so steep, you know, it'd be hard to, you know, put out a fire on some of these hills as steep as they are, you know, trying to drag hoses and backpacks up there trying to put out these fires. So y'all be careful when you're out there, you know, cleaning yards up and burning, and like Mayor Reagan said, you know, get a permit so they know that you are doing a burn and they don't waste the time coming out, you know, when you're doing a controlled burn. And well, we want to thank you for being with us today, Mr. Reagan, and look forward to having you back again.
There's one more thing, if I may, before
okay,
I cut off with you, concerning the Thanksgiving holidays and stuff coming up and everything. I know that a lot of folks, you know, the common, I think they've changed now. You can get an electric fryer, and it's not hardly as dangerous as the traditional propane. And that's one thing I want to encourage everybody, you know, because careful about, you know, whenever you go to deep fry your turkey or whatever it may be, because sometimes you put that, you think you got your level set right,
mm-hmm.
as far as your liquid in your pot, and when you get it up to temperature and you put your bird in there or whatever, it's sometimes it has a tendency to boil over. And if that happens, the oil that's in there can ignite from the flame, and make sure that you got that in an area that it's, if that does happen, you know, that's not going to catch fire and everything. And stove, we had a fire about 3 weeks ago that we responded to, and that was from a deep fryer that they were frying some french fries. And very cautious when you do that, make sure you got a lid on it, be careful.
Okay, well, thank you for being with us, Mayor Reagan, and look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thank you, Scott.
We're going to take another break from our sponsors and be back with another guest.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181. For Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina, or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator Made trailers. GatorMade is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. GatorMade trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for GatorMade trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back to Kicks 105 or 101.5 FM. Your host for Clay County Corner for today, and the next guest we have is Jane Donaldson with the Clay County School Systems. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
I know you wear many hats in the county. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do in the community?
Okay. Well, I'm kind of new at this game. Having been a counselor for about 22 years and a teacher for about 8, so I've got some experience in that way. I'm kind of new in the administrative offices. But what I'm doing right now, I'm going to talk to you about the career and technical education today.
Okay.
I'm also the family resource director, and that's a totally other avenue, the parent involvement coordinator. I'm also the adult high school principal and the homeschool contact. So those are some things that you do. Absolutely.
And the one you want to talk about today is the... CTE.
We use those letters CTE a lot in education, but a lot of people don't really realize what that means. But it just stands for career and technical education. And some of us that have been around in a while probably remember those as like your home ec or your ag. But it's much more than that today. It's really changed. The division at the State Department, the Tennessee State Department of Education, they promote the nationally recognized 16 career clusters, and also the state's corresponding programs of study. And we'll talk about programs of study in just a minute. And like I say, you may remember the old vocational programs, and those were good for I guess learning just some basic skills and some things that you would use in your life. But it's really more than that. It's really preparing the students for post-secondary training as well. And also it's heavily braided with academics, the math, the science, literacy, even the STEM areas, the science, technology, engineering, and math. So we have lots of opportunities in the career technical education. The programs of study are meant to provide a relevant framework of industry-aligned, rigorous courses. So there's a lot more rigor in those courses. Some people think, oh, you're just taking an ag class or you're just taking a business class, but there's a lot of rigor in those classes. They also provide invaluable opportunities for students to experience a subject that they are passionate about, and I'll talk more about some of the student organizations and things they do there. So.
Yep. Even in, you know, today in the ag classes, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot more technology with everything on computers and all that. It's not just, you know, a farmer out there planting seeds on the tractor. You know, everything's computerized now. You have to keep track of everything. And I guess, you know, it's changed a lot since I was in school and home economics. You know, I'm not sure what all has changed in that, you know, but, you know, the students now are more technical than were in the past. So, how does CTE fit into the rest of the classes that Tennessee students already take?
Okay, well, as you know, school has changed a lot in the last few years. Back in 2009, of course, I was working in Clay County High School as a counselor then, and you may have heard about the Tennessee Diploma Project, and this was a whole revamping of all the education. There were additional requirements for students, such as requirements for students to have 4 maths. Now, before, students could take 4 maths, but they did not have to. All students now have to take Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, and a 4th math. And that would be, we have a bridge math course, which is a, if you have not, things are really tied to ACT scores. And by the way, career technical education is really working on preparing students in those areas too, because ACT, the college entrance exam, is very important especially when you're talking about lottery scholarships and things like that, then that's a whole nother subject I'd like to get off on sometime. But we also have like pre-calculus, calculus. But all of those are classes that the students have to take. They have to take four classes. Also, they added at that time the personal finance class, which was something a lot of people were pushing for, young people to know more about how to handle their money and that type thing. Also, 2 years of foreign language was mandatory. Before you could take, I guess you used to be able to take the vocational path, which is what you might think of as CTE, but it's really not like that now, or the college path. And now everybody's on the same path. You have a program of study.
But you say that two languages are required now?
Yes.
I do good with English, so.
That's what a lot of boys struggle with, but that's.
And I know on the math, when I was going to school, you know, we had just basic math was all that was required. And so I took just what I had to get through the school. And then when I went into college, I had to have trigonometry and calculus and algebra and all that. So I had to learn real quick in college. So, you know, I know math is very, very important these days in any field you go in. Computers and all that, everything's just math. So.
Even technical fields or vocational, what we used to call vocational fields, they are, you know, technology is tied to each and every one of those. In fact, all of our classrooms have smart boards, and that's something we could talk about another time, too. But if you haven't seen a smart board, you need to see that.
It's not your old chalkboard anymore.
No, absolutely not. In addition to the foreign languages and the math and the personal finance, students have to have a fine arts credit also. And that used to be only if you were going to college that you would have the fine arts, the music or the art or something. And then in addition, and what I'm getting to now, is all the students have to have a elective focus or a program of study. And this is where some of these CTE courses come in.
Okay. So, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Jane Donaldson, and we'll hear a word from our sponsors.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Okay, welcome back to Kix 101.5 FM. I'm Scott Hunt, your host for the Clay County Corner today, and we are here with Jane Donaldson with Clay County Schools, and she is talking about the programs of study or elective focus in the Clay County High School. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay. Tennessee's Career and Technical Education programs of study are meant to provide the framework of industry-aligned rigorous courses that progress student in knowledge skills after year. So you would have one course that would be your basic course that you would take, and then the next year you would get more in-depth and then more in-depth. So that's all mapped out of the state of Tennessee, and we have to send in the programs of study that we are offering. And that was the result of the Tennessee Diploma Project back started in 2009. So the skills do progress. These programs of study provide, I think, invaluable opportunities for students to experience a subject that they are passionate about, as well as do, you know, provide a requirement for graduation. And they do have to have that to graduate. So it's not anymore, well, I think I'll take ag this year, and then the next year I'll take something else, and then the next year I'll take something else. The students, when they come in at the spring of their eighth grade year, basically, they have to decide, okay, I'm going to take this as my area of focus. Now, you might be able to take some of those classes as well, but you have to take the program of study classes.
And they're kind of like stair-stepping. Mm-hmm. They give you the basics, and then you add to that and add to that.
They are. If it's okay, I'll tell you the ones. We actually have two agriculture programs of study right now. We have agriculture education and power structures and technical systems. So there's that word. That's not your usual ag. We also have the health science. We are so excited about our health science program. It's taught by the Tennessee College of Applied Technology in Livingston. Now, that used to be called the Technology Center. Before that, it was called the Vocational School. But it's, the new name is Tennessee College of Applied Technology in Livingston. We partner with them. Clay County Schools partners with them, and they have the therapeutic nursing services. And we are just really successful with that and really happy about that. Also, under human services, is the family and community services. I didn't say anything about home economics, did I?
No.
But it's under human services and the family and community services. Then we have the information technology, and our program of study there is the multimedia management. So that's our courses. In addition to the CTE programs of study that I just mentioned, we also have the math science program of study that students can take. In addition to the four math, they get to take additional math as well. And also, or sciences. We have anatomy and physiology there that they can take as well, plus some other sciences that we've had introduction to engineering, where we've had a Virginia Tech, Tennessee Tech professor teaching, sometimes in the school there, sometimes a distance learning type situation. So we've been fortunate to have a lot of good courses, and they're actually partnering with people here in Clay County.
You probably have some courses online too, don't you? There's a lot of courses people can take online at their own convenience. And with this technology, I took classes at Nashville State mm-hmm. online back in 2011, mm-hmm. and it's fairly easy. I mean, I had a lot of experience in the field I was taking the classes in, but I was able to, you know, do the work at my convenience and get it in, and so it, you know, helps out there. There's a lot of information online.
Scott, we really have a lot of opportunities for the students in high school right now as far as dual enrollment, and that's a whole other show, and I'd like to have them on here. But I know last year, for instance, we had a girl, she graduated, I think she had 48 semester hours when she graduated. I mean, we have students that are sophomores, almost juniors when they go into college. So we have lots of opportunities here to just be a very small place, and part of that is the technology and the computers, but we also have live teachers that are here that come to our campus to teach as well, besides the computer classes that we do have.
Okay. We're going to take another short break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hey, welcome back to Clay County Corner. This is Scott Hunt, your guest host today, and I'm here with Jane Donaldson from the Clay County School Systems. Okay, Jane, go ahead and continue with what you're talking about there.
Okay, I wanted to just share with you some of the courses so you would understand a little bit about CTE, or Career Technical Education, and what we have. Under the Program of Study of Agriculture Education, we have agri-science, which can be a lab science. It can count as a lab science if we need it to. Usually we don't, because we have other lab sciences as well. We really want them to have a heavy science background. We have advanced principles of ag science. We have leadership communication. We have the plant and soil science, which is also a lab-based science. In the power structures and technical systems, we have agri-science as the basic course. We have ag mechanics and maintenance. We have ag power and equipment. We have ag engineering. Also, the electives, we have livestock management in that, and I'll be talking about that. We have therapeutic nursing services that I mentioned a while ago. We have the basic health science class. We have medical therapeutics. We have anatomy and physiology that is for the nursing and the health science majors, a very valuable class. And then we have the nursing education class. And one of the electives we have in this area that the kids absolutely love is forensic science.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff on TV about that.
Oh, yes. And they absolutely love that.
And all this is in the high school
exactly.
classes. It sounds like college classes, like flipping through a college, you know,
absolutely. Now, those students in the health science that I just told you about, they are dually enrolled. They are enrolled at the Tennessee College for Applied Technology and Clay County High School at the same time. So those are dual enrolled students.
Okay.
And then in the what we used to call home ec, I guess, it's family and community services. We have family and consumer science class, child and lifespan development. We have nutrition and foods, life connections. We do have some elective. We have textiles and housing. And I hadn't really mentioned about the boys. Typically, we used to think of boys taking certain courses and girls taking certain courses. But just in the high school the other day, I walked in the textiles class, which is a sewing class. And the majority of the class was boys, and they were really doing a really good job too. And you know, I guess if you expect it, you'll get it. But and same thing with the other classes, like for instance, the ag classes. We have girls that are very successful, and they even go on and make careers out of that. We have some very successful stories in that area. One other that I'll mention is the multimedia management, of course. You couldn't be doing this show today if you didn't know something about that. But we have computer applications, desktop publishing, interactive multimedia presentations, and then we have e-business and some other classes as well in that. So
these kids these days, they know so much about technology, even at a young age. You know, I've got a little granddaughter, you know, 5 years old, and she knows how to do the iPads and all that stuff, you know. But that's what kids have to learn these days to be competitive is you know, electronics and media and all the programs and all that's out there, and leaves a lot of us in the dust, you know, because they know so much at an early age.
Exactly. You know, through the years, and kids will laugh about it. They tell me, can you help me do this? And they show me how. And so I've done that for years, and I've got to enjoy that for years. And maybe don't know as much as I need to because I've had them to do it, you know. So they teach me all the time. I learn from them. Also, I wanted to touch on some work-based learning and some post-secondary credit opportunities. Besides, we mentioned that we have some classes with Ball State Community College there on campus, and I told you about some of the dual enrollment opportunities. But there are some others just in these CTE classes as well. I also wanted to mention about the student organizations. You know, the classes are very important, the CTE classes, but the student organizations are where the really good stuff comes out sometimes. We have regional, state, and local skill competitions. For example, our soil and land judging teams have won the state multiple times, and they've gone on to the national competition. So that's just a normal thing for us to do that. That's where you're almost expected to do that. Students that go on to be successful in post-secondary student organizations, for instance, we have one student who is a state officer right now at Tennessee Tech in FFA. She was a Tennessee National Officer candidate. She had a job this past year in Washington, D.C., working for FFA Teaching Leadership. She is an ag business major. She's one of many that we've had success stories in those areas. So that was all because she was in her local chapter of FFA. So, and that's just one of the student organizations that we have.
One thing I've noticed since I've moved out here to Clay County is how the students here, it's a small county, small high school, but students excel in everything that they do. You know, all the sports, you know, like say the FFA, everything like that, they seem to just excel and you know, be tops in their field. And that's, you know, it's just wonderful, you know, in such a small, so many, you know, people like that. In the bigger cities where we're from, Nashville, you know, it's, there's so many people there and competing for the, you know, those areas. And to see all that coming out of Clay County, you know, with the small group that we have here, it's just great.
well, this gives our students something. You know, everybody can't be an athlete. Everybody can't be in this club. They may not excel, but in this one they will. So we try to give everybody an opportunity to find something that's their niche. And that way, I've seen success story after success story where students actually graduate because they were in some of these activities. So I think it's a really good thing as far as our graduation rate. I believe that's why we have the high graduation rate that we do right now, is because of some of these things.
Yeah, keeping them busy and interested in schools.
Right.
I know my daughter, when she went into the ninth grade there in Nashville, there was 900 students in her ninth grade class, and 600
wow.
of them graduated. So there was
wow.
a lot of them dropped out.
Exactly.
And because you know it's a lot more difficult there in Nashville to you know keep the interest and to do that many activities with all the students. So
right. Well, also the work-based opportunities I wanted to mention, our child and lifespan development classes, they go over to the Head Start, and that has been very successful. The relationships go both ways. You know, the children love the students love the children, and it's just such a good opportunity for them to go there. It's also good as far as community outreach, I guess. Also, our nursing education classes do their clinical hours at the Salina Health and Rehab Center here. And that is just invaluable. And I wanted to mention the post-secondary dual credit opportunities. In our ag class, our livestock class, they have an opportunity to get a 3-hour course credit through Tennessee Tech University. All they have to do is take a test at the end of that. Now, we're talking about dual assessment. Here, so our teacher teaches that class, kind of follows the curriculum, and then those students are ready to do that test by assessment. In the health science area, we do a health test by assessment. Just last year, we found out about this, but we found out that if the students take three health science courses, test for medical terminology, which is something that you have to take in all the medical fields and all the four-year universities. And the students had to pay $10 to take that test. And I think about half of the class took it, and out of the ones that took it, they passed it. So they've got the 3-hour course on there ready for their post-secondary, already ready to go. Also, one thing we're really proud of is our certified nursing assistant credential. Our students graduate with that credential. They can go out and work as a CNA and have have money coming in. They can do that while they're going to school. They can use that as a stepping stone for the LPN program or as a stepping stone for RN. We have a lot of RNs. They may never want to work in that field, really, but they've got that skill to fall back on if they do. So, and we are proud to say that we've had 100% pass rate for the last 2 years in that area. So very successful program, very needed in the community. So we're really proud of that. Also, in our information technology class that I was talking about just a minute ago, we this year we're going to test out in three areas. There's a business communications class in college that we can test out for. Also another business class, and then a computer applications class. So those are put on a transcript by Vault State Community College. If they pass those assessments, then when they go on, they can be transferred to any State Board of Regents school, anywhere that would take a Vault State Community College credit, and we have not had any trouble with that so far. So those are some things that we're really proud of in the post-secondary and in the community areas.
It sounds like you're getting the kids, ready for the world out there, and when they come out of high school, they've already, excelled over a lot of the other people and have great resumes to show,
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to work on some of the soft skills, too, not just the skill areas, mm-hmm. but we're trying to talk about attendance, and the importance of attendance, and the importance of communication skills, and just getting along with other people, and some of those type things as well.
Okay, we're going to take another short break, and we'll finish up with Jane when we come back from the break.
Good afternoon, this is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route.
Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Celina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Celina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter paint, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Celina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
All right, we're back with the Clay County Coroner. This is Scott Hunt, your guest host today. I'm talking with Jane Donaldson, and we're going to finish up here with Jane. Okay, in closing, Jane, what would you like to, you know, share with the people?
Okay, well, I just want to kind of talk just a minute about the changes that are coming down in career technical education and also just education in general. One thing, the programs of study that I just talked to you about today, they are under construction. I just got some information yesterday that they are combining some and trying to make them more rigorous. So those are all under construction, so that will be another day. We will see what kind of programs of study are going to come after that. So that's going to be in effect for the next school year. So we're going to have to get ready for those. Also, you may have heard about Common Core. Now, Common Core is a whole nother bunch of state standards. They're more rigorous than Tennessee's old standards. They're focusing more on critical thinking and problem solving, which are the real world skills that students need to be successful in education beyond high school and in the workforce. So that's a whole nother show for somebody to do, is the Common Core standards. But that's why when your child brings home a math problem, sometimes we're not so interested in the answer. We're interested in the answer, but we're interested in the process. And that is, and the parents are saying, hey, what happened to math when you just 2 + 2 = 4? So that's happened in the elementary school and all, but that's affecting the career technical education in all areas of education.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jane, for coming and sharing with us today. And I know you'll be back for many shows because you do many different things and have a lot to talk about. I got a few announcements here. The Veterans Day celebration honoring all veterans and their spouses and widows and caregivers for Sunday, November 10th at Smith Chapel United Methodist Church. United Methodist Women of Campground and Smith Chapel Methodist Church will provide a complimentary lunch, and Mid-State Quartet of Pleasant Shade will provide special music. Serving will begin at 12 o'clock and continued for those attending other services elsewhere who cannot arrive right at noon. All you veterans, come and enjoy the food and fellowship, especially those who have served. And need more information, call 259-320. And if no answer, leave a message and your phone number, and we'll get back to you. 17th Annual Christmas Bazaar will be Saturday, November 16th at 9 a.m. to 3 at the Clay County Community Center. Booth space is available. For more information, call 931-243-2161. And the Friends of the Library will be having a chili lunch tomorrow, November 8th, from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock at the Salina Methodist Church. The cost is $5. And we're looking for pictures and stories from the past, so everybody dig through your pictures and look, you know, any old pictures you have and stories. We'll be looking in the future for those, so get those out, and we'll announce when we need those. December 14th is a Christmas parade, and we will announce a time and date later. And this has been Clay County Corner, and I'm Scott Hunt signing off. And you can catch us broadcast at 6 o'clock tonight. You can also catch us on the Dale Hollow Horizon. You can click on the link there and see the show recorded live there. And this is Scott Hunt signing off. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.